Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, guest list.
So we do have our winner. Thanks to you guys for calling in. And we'll continue to give away more tickets. We want that to be a full house at St. Arnold's that Friday, September 5th. So if you didn't win today or win this week on the station, you'll get your chance next week and going forward. I did want to let you guys know the summer circuit continues today. Hell, it starts in less than an hour. At Brickhouse Tavern and Tap in Humble. So Paul Gallant, his show will begin at noon, and then the Killer Bees will follow him. So they're going to be out there from 12 to 6. And if you go out there and sign up at the promo table, you get a chance to win our grand prize of the summer. It's a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, about a $4,000 value. So giving away good prizes as the summer circuit rolls on. And then we do have our Houston Restaurant Weeks partnership. We're doing that with the Houston Food Bank and all the great restaurants, or at least some of the great restaurants in the greater Houston area. So they're doing it for a worthy cause. If you spend $55, that is 15 meals for people who need them. And if it's $39 dinner from a place, that's 9 meals and so on. So if you are someone who wants to go eat at the best restaurants in town and also help people out, now's your time. It goes through September 1st. That's Labor Day. HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com is the website. You can check out all the restaurants that are participating and help out the community and also get yourself a great meal at a price that's maybe lower than normal because of the partnership with Houston Food Bank.
You can really go to some restaurants either that are normally out of your price range or just you wouldn't normally go to. You wouldn't normally like, hey, I'm going to go to this place I've never been before. That's how I do. I'm like, do I want to risk it or do I just want to have the same 5 things that I know I like?
Yeah.
This is a great way to expand your horizons and help some people out.
Yeah, it's great with what the restaurants in the city are doing. HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com, HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com, helping out the Houston Food Bank. Okay, let's get to this. Los Altos, I see you, but you know the rule. Your fake name means you wait. Let's go to this. Nico Collins is another Texan on the top 100. So what you're going to hear is me editing some of the things out, but you're going to hear from an ex-teammate. And by ex-teammate, I mean Rashawn Gary, who he played with at Michigan. And you're going to hear from one of the guys who sees him twice a year, Zaire Franklin. Those are the two voices, along with some of the play-by-play of Nico Collins and what he did last year to hit number 32 on the top 100 list.
Hey! All right.
Have fun, bro.
Nico got a few touchdowns in him, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Stroud. Over the middle, touchdown, Nico Collins.
Back of the end zone, leaping grab, Nico Collins.
It's hard to win one-on-one against Nico. It really don't matter what coverage you're in or what type of help you have. He's going to find a way to get open.
He understands that the team needs him. He's just grown into, you know, being comfortable with being that big playmaker for that team. It's crazy. He's 6'5", not a lot of wide receivers that big, moving how he is and that aggressive.
Like, Nico Collins is the real deal. He threat, and you got to hit him. He's a big boy, so Nico like that. He's faster than you think he is. I didn't really recognize it last year. He's a lot better after the catch than I thought he was, too.
Nico Collins having a day and another Texans first down.
So that was Rashawn Gary. The last voice you heard was Zaire Franklin of the Colts, sees him twice a year. And then at the very beginning, that was DeMeco Ryans talking with his wide receiver coach about Nico's got a couple touchdowns in him. So he missed time last year, was still very productive. I didn't know that this was the first time he made it. I thought he might have made it because of his season in 2023, but apparently the players were a little late on Nico Collins. But they put him up there very high this time around and made him the 32nd best player in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's right in the neighborhood of CeeDee Lamb, right? I think he might be ahead of CeeDee Lamb on the
Well, we know he's ahead of Tyreek Hill.
Precipitous drop from number one to like number 47 or whatever it was.
I'm sure he got 46 places worse over the course of one season. We haven't heard Jamar Chase's name yet or Justin Jefferson. Who else could finish ahead of him if CeeDee Lamb hasn't? If CeeDee Lamb has already been mentioned, because Nico
is three spots ahead of CeeDee Lamb.
So is Nico going to be the third best wide receiver in football according to the players? Who else besides Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson do you think they might rank ahead of him if they do at all?
I'm scrolling to make sure he's not already on this list, but Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Okay, that could be one.
I think that's probably it. He's probably top five.
I would think so.
Do you think that he's a top five receiver in the NFL? I think him and Lamb is interesting.
He's the best big receiver. Jamar Chase is big physically. It's like a physical receiver.
Yeah, but
he's not actually
foot.
He's not actually big. I think Nico's the best big receiver in football. Definitely. I don't think anyone his size is as good as he is.
Yeah, and not just as a contested catch guy that you think a bigger guy like him would be, but I mean, they mentioned it in the ranking that he's a good yards after the catch guy too. He's just as fast as the little guys and just as big as the big guys. So it makes him a tough matchup. It's really kind of at some points last year he was the saving grace of this Texans offense. Really, just get the ball to Nico Collins.
Yeah, he had a nice day yesterday in practice against the Panthers. It's partly thanks to the Panthers' lack of pass rush. If you go by what people saw. The day itself, Texans started out good offensively, then waned, and then got better at the end. CJ threw a couple touchdowns, so Nico Collins will continue to be a part of what the Texans do. Number 32, getting some respect from the players, and that probably matters more to the players themselves than it might do to us, because sometimes players can be biased, players got their own agendas, but if you are a player and you hear your opponents that highly of you, I imagine it means something.
Yeah.
So credit to Nico Collins for his run. It's going to definitely be the focal point of the offense so far, considering there are plenty of questions about the rest of the unit. Like how many guys are, because of the Joe Mixon questions about his health, you think about that offense, CJ, we believe in, because we think he is more year one than he is year two, and Nico. Anybody else on offense as it stands right now, can you be confident in?
No.
Of the other nine? I mean, Christian Kirk it's fine. He's had some health issues, but if he's on the field, he'll be fine. He's not a I would say a top player. As a slot, he's going to be competent. He'll get open, he'll make plays, but I don't know that I see anyone besides CJ and Nico Collins as plus players on that offense right now.
Yeah, like true difference makers, unless it's someone, unless it's one of the rookies that surprises us. I really do think it is Collins and Stroud. I guess Mixon is the TBD on if he's healthy.
Yeah.
I think he will, healthy Mixon, I think, is in that mix. I think he's third, but I think he's one of the top, he's a true top difference maker for the Texans offense. But yeah, no, as it looks like right now, it's going to kind of have to be the Nico Collins and others show.
Yeah, I think if he's not one of the most targeted players in the NFL, it will simply be a product of that offense and maybe some of their inability to sustain drives. But I don't know who else CJ could possibly believe in on that roster on offense as it stands. Look, CJ's going to come out and be diplomatic and tell you he believes in all his guys, and in some ways he likely does, but when it matters most, it'll be Nico first, second, and maybe third if possible All right, we'll get to La Salsa here. And Lazy J, I see you. We'll get to, hold on through the break, Lazy J. I'm telling you now, hold on to the break. We will get to you. You want to talk Texans, but let's get to La Salsa before we go to break. What's up? He hung up. There it is. Perfect. We can go to break now. You think that was in protest of making him wait? He just decided, all right, I'm going to show you.
Or maybe it was in honor of Michelle and, well, Candy actually called. Or, you know.
Yeah,
finished their call.
Yeah,
but Michelle, who the last 2 weeks has called and hung up, called and then hung up.
Maybe it's a bit people are doing, which is fine. Lazy J, we'll get to you. You want to talk Texans? Anyone else want to join us? Remember, now's the time to get in. We do have the next segment, but at 11:30, if you want to save your question for Michael, he reviews movies and TV shows and tells you what's good and what isn't. If you got a question for him, you can call in during that segment as well. Lazy J, when we come back, we'll talk some Texans with you and anything else you want to get to. We'll be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Let's get to Lazy J. He wants to talk Texans. What's up?
Hey, Del. Good morning, bro. Hey, man, I want to apologize to you, brother. I always be talking about you. You're not black enough. Yeah, you black, bro. You was on CP time with them tickets at 11 o'clock. You said 11, so yeah, you definitely on CP time on that one. But I just wanted to get in. I spoke to HR, man. Y'all do just drug tests up there?
Why?
I think you and your producer's name about to come up talking about CeeDee Lamb and Nico Collins in the same stratosphere.
Well, why don't you talk to the players? Hey, Lazy J, as John Granato, of all people, can tell you, no one wants to hear you talk about what's black and what isn't. But also, what about what the players said? Where do the players have CeeDee Lamb ranked, Sean?
CeeDee Lamb is
number
35.
Oh, so his own co-workers, so the people he plays against don't think he's better than Nico Collins. So don't talk about it with us. Talk about it with the players.
Everybody hates the Cowboys. You're talking about linebackers that you was over there giving Nico Collins some what's called some praise. What are you talking about? You know he's ranked. He's top three receiver for sure in the NFL, but
sure.
Nico Collins and him not even on the same level.
Well, tell it to the players who play against them every week. Don't come in here and go, I can't believe you guys are sad and you're on drugs. Then I guess every player who voted's on drugs too, because he finished behind Nico Collins. No one's looking for your Texans opinions. Stick to Real Madrid or whatever whatever bandwagon you're gonna jump on. Can you tell us what Ronaldo's doing in the Saudi league, since we know you're following him there? What's he doing?
I'm sorry. So they're not sacked this year?
Oh, yeah, I knew it. Put him on hold or hang up on him. No one cares about the Saudi league, much like no one cares about your opinions on when someone gets to win a prize or how good CeeDee Lamb is. You're not biased at all.
By the way, Michael Parsons is 36.
So Nico Collins is better than Michael Parsons, too, according to the players.
I mean, he got paid.
How about that?
His team wanted to pay him.
Yeah, they didn't make him wait. Calling in about CP time. Yeah, I'm sure. Judging by how your warehouse guys talk about you, you are the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to not being places on time or paying things on time. You never pay up on bets out here. By the way, if it's him, you can take what he says, but we're not bringing him back on the air. That one call per day, that's the rule, unless it's for a contest or something. That's Lazy J. What a great individual to have a conversation with. All right, we move on from that. So, we got the Astros tonight. They have a distinct advantage when it comes to the pitching matchups. This series, Baltimore, one of the more disappointing teams in baseball. That's a team coming off two straight playoff appearances, and they're not going to do it this year. That's a young team that's likely not going to go away, but this was a real fall from what people expected. I think they've been in the playoffs the last couple of years and didn't win a game. I believe they've been swept the last couple of times they've been in the playoffs. So they've had some hard luck. But the Astros thank them for what they did to the Mariners the last couple of days. It'll be Brandon Young versus Fromber tonight. Brandon Young has an ERA at 6.7. Not been great. He's 0-6 on the year. So this is a pitcher the Astros should take advantage of. We will see if they do. But series starts tonight, and you're game and a half up on those Mariners. I feel good about this series. Hopefully the Astros don't pull the Astro thing where they have it all lined up to have a pretty good series, and then the bats go quiet, and all of a sudden you're looking at maybe a deficit in the race as opposed to being up. So as far as the Mariners, they have the Mets. At least the Mariners are getting to a tougher part of the schedule. They're on the road in New York. We'll have to take a look at that. And for the first time in like the last three Fridays, the Astros are on regular-ass Bay City Home Network. Don't have to worry about them being on Apple TV this week.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, Apple TV, come on. If I'm not watching, I'm trying to think, Foundation.
Stick. Oh.
I'm not watching Stick. Owen Wilson and the golf theme show. Not a chance. Not a chance. But you know, Foundation, you've got some Silo that I like. I love a lot of the sci-fi stuff.
Yeah. Friends and Neighbors.
And Neighbors I did enjoy. That's not sci-fi. Although John Hamm being able to rob all his friends and neighbors without getting caught, it's a bit science fiction. He carried that thing around that shuts off the signal to the camera. Oh, he just happened to have one, and it worked all the time. And of course, we had the end of that series, at least the season, which I won't give away for people who haven't watched it.
Please.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I know. That's a rule. And of course,
It'll be right after I watch SEC and Hard Knocks and the Cowboys.
I see the bit continues.
Maybe a little bit of Alien Earth.
Maybe all of Alien
Earth. And then Friends and Neighbors.
Yes, you continue to rank SEC propaganda.
Oh, I haven't actually seen Quarterback yet, too.
So you may not ever get to anything, considering all the Netflix stuff you have to watch, documentaries about football.
That's too many. Yeah. There's no way they think everyone's going to watch all of these. Even like football fans are going to watch all of them.
They're a content machine, not always good. You know me, I'm still waiting on Stranger Things, and then I think I'm done.
I'm waiting on Electric State, too, but yeah.
You are better off waiting on the whole Enola Holmes 3, yeah. I think. I think the first two did much better than Electric State, so you might get Enola Holmes 3. Millie Bobby Brown, one of their stars. Don't know if she, for Netflix. She's a Netflix star. I know you're shaking your head. She's a Netflix star.
One-hit wonder.
Two-hit wonder. Enola Holmes is doing well.
Oh, okay.
Some of the other things she's done on Netflix, not so great. But the Stranger Things, the Enola Holmes, still counting them checks.
11 Merchant.
Well, yes, it is her. It's not like the character setting a screen for her to get a shot off. It actually is her.
She was a good actor when she was 10 years old. What have you done for me lately?
You know, there's some validity to that. But hey, sometimes you don't have to be a great actor to keep cashing checks, and that's what she's doing. So no reason to hate on her. And also, doesn't help or hurt, excuse me, that you're married to Bon Jovi's kid. So she's pretty much set. Whether she continues or not, she does have that. All right, let's get to Gary, and then we'll get to Eric, who I believe wants to hold on to talk to Michael. That's generally what his Friday calls are about. But Gary wants to talk about the rankings. What's up, Gary?
Hey guys, quickly, just hear me out. I know everybody got biases and what have you, but look, Steve Young, John Elway, Kurt Warner, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes. There were seven of the eight I've just listed, all have one thing in common. They all have an MVP and a Super Bowl. There are eight quarterbacks in the history of the game, I believe it is, that have an MVP on top with the Super Bowl and a Super Bowl victory. That means the other QBs won their games with great defense, a special teams player, or cornerback, or running back. Somebody else besides the quarterback won MVP besides those eight. And the seven of the guys I listed, every skill position from running back, tight end, wide receiver, probably have all Hall of Famers. One other thing, and I mentioned that because Jalen Hurts was the eighth. But let me tell you about the seven of them. All seven of those other guys, none of them that won MVP they didn't all throw for 1,000 yards in that Super Bowl game or 20 touchdowns or have 1,000 yards or what have you. Their impact. It wasn't just that they won MVP. They were impactful. And Jalen Hurts, I wanted to say, in the rankings, if you don't have a Super Bowl or MVP, I know other factors matter, but each one of those guys have Hall of Fame skill players. And, yes, he may have thrown for 130 yards in the Super Bowl, but they awarded him. Like you're talking about the players, talking about the receiver for their peers. Their peers and all those who said Jalen Hurts was the MVP, the impact. Impact is not about just 50,000 yards, because he'll never throw for 50,000 yards in a game. But he's one of eight that took a team. They can talk about Saquon Barkley that has nobody in the Hall of Fame. Saquon may get there, but when he was in the Giants. But each one of those seven other quarterbacks had Hall of Fame supreme, from the offensive line to tight ends to receivers to running backs. But none of them threw for the exact same amount of yards, but they all were awarded MVP. So a whole bunch of other quarterbacks had weapons and couldn't get them across the hump. So that's what I consider greatness and top-tier quarterbacks when they're tiering these guys. All right.
Thanks, Gary. It appears you're having a discussion that we didn't have. Jalen Hurts, over 220 yards passing, 72 yards rushing, total three touchdowns, got the MVP. As you mentioned, he didn't throw for 1,000 yards, but in a game where they dominated so fully, what he did might as well have been a lot of yards passing. He combined for nearly 300 total yards and three touchdowns. So he got the MVP. Gary, I hear what you said, and I understand it, but this show is not one that criticized Jalen Hurts. This show, I think, barely mentioned Jalen Hurts. Only time we ever mentioned him was because of the Gilly Cam Newton thing and the funnier aspect of that back and forth, and less about Jalen Hurts. There are circumstances that determine how good a player will be, or at least how much success they will have. The Jalen Hurts conversation, I'm probably more in line with what he thinks than other people. He won, and that's kind of all that matters. But for the most part, I'm not a person who cares about ranking players. I just had Nico Collins on here, or at least we played the sound, because he's local and his peers think very highly of him. Okay, we will go to break with that. Thank you for the call, Gary. Willie P, I see you. Eric, I see you. You both have questions for Michael Carroll. We'll get to Michael Carroll when we come back. If you have something you want to ask Michael or us, you can 713-780-3776. Before we get to all that, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. Okay, some of you have kids who are in high school, are young drivers, and are maybe looking for a car as they head back to school. I got a great place for you to go, Monument Chevrolet. Maybe you don't want to give them a new car. You want to give them their starter car. Monument Chevrolet has great pre-owned vehicles that you can get for one of your young drivers. They have that 6-month, 6,000-mile limited warranty. They're not going to sell you a bad car, but you still have that cushion of the warranty to take care of you. You can check out all that inventory at monumentchevrolet.com, and then head on out there. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And maybe once you get on out there, you see something new that you like for yourself, whether it be a Blazer or a Silverado 1500. They have all the great Chevy vehicles that you can take a look at, and they have great people out there that aren't going to hit you with pressure. There are no hidden fees, no upcharges. Whatever the price is, that's the price that you're going to get the car for. And they understand that the car buying experience can be a long one. They're not going to make it tough on you. They're going to get you in the right car for you and as quickly as possible. So monumentchevrolet.com is the website where you go once you see the car you love. Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And as always, you should remember this. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Your table is waiting.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
That guy's here with us. Willie P and Eric, you've got questions for Michael. We'll certainly get to you. Michael is the host of Comicast. He does that podcast with John Lee. You can hear it here.
This is true.
On Wednesdays on ESPN 97.5. Michael, we will get to your review of Nobody 2. You've seen that movie. We'll talk about that. The Bob Odenkirk action movie. Yes, that is a thing. Odenkirk is now an
action star.
An action star after the success of Nobody, the original Nobody. But as far as the latest on Comicast, what do you have to offer?
Jong and I first nerded out on K-pop Demon Hunters because I finally watched it. He had been raving about it. So we had a chance to catch up on that a little bit beforehand. And then we got into some of the latest stories, including James Gunn's announcement that Superman is available for PVOD today. And so if you want to go rent or buy it or whatever, you can do that from your home digitally.
Was that a surprise? And it just popped out? Because him announcing it sounds like no one knew when it was going to be out.
Well, normally it's like a 45-day window.
It takes some time.
This one was like a 33, 35-day window. So it's kind of quick. It's literally almost like a month or a little over a month is a little too quick in some regards. So we got into theatrical release windows. Zach Krieger, who has done Weapons and Barbarian, he has a pitch for a movie for DC that's interesting.
I saw that.
So we kind of get into all that type of stuff.
All right. So you can check it out in its entirety wherever you listen to a podcast. And of course, you can hear Comicast here on ESPN 97.5 from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. So let's get to these calls and we'll get into some of the recommendations or not so recommendations and also Michael's review of Nobody 2. Let's start with Eric, then we'll get to Willie P. Eric, what's your question?
Hey guys, how y'all doing? Yeah, Michael, I heard you're doing a prequel to a main character in Weapons. I wonder if there's any truth to that. But I think there should be a sequel and a prequel to the guys that ate 20 hot dogs and carrots for lunch. Also, I heard that they're going to start up El Muerto again because Bad Bunny dropped out, but they're getting that that young guy from Blue Beetle. I want your thoughts on that. I'll hang up to listen.
So there is a rumor of the, let's say, the antagonist who we find out is in Weapons getting a prequel, which would be the only one that makes sense, unless you want to see how Josh Brolin started his construction company. Sean does. He just writes
me. And the hot dog guys.
Well,
unfortunately, sequel kind of out of the
sequel's
question.
Sequel's out. Yeah. It's going to be very difficult to get that done unless Resurrection's part of the process in Weapons. But yes, the protagonist or antagonist in Weapons would be the only one I could think of that could get us prequel. And that's not exactly off the table.
No.
Would you be interested in that story? I'm not mentioning names for people who haven't watched.
Right.
But would you be interested in that story?
I wouldn't mind it. I did see the trades kind of reporting it earlier this week that there is talks of a prequel. But Zach Krieger has Resident Evil. He has another like sci-fi movie. The DC thing that I pitched, I don't know that he pitched that. I don't know if that will come to fruition. But he's got some other projects in the works. So I don't know if this would be something where he would take reins on it or if it would be something else that he gives to somebody.
Yeah, truthfully, I'm kind of good. I don't need it. Like, if we're being honest.
Honestly, like, I just want him to do more original.
I want to see him do more other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the weapon, I don't know if I'm looking for Weapons IP, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and the twist is, like, the long explanation is, like, kind of the, like, beauty of the character and, like, finding out about that character. Like, walking into a movie being like, this is about that character. I feel like it would lose some of the steam.
Yeah, because I think some of the reasons why the Weapons worked so well is it was so, like, the mystique of it all, right? Like,
yeah,
the unknown and
was,
the puzzle.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just such a, you know, from the first trailers, they explain kind of a little bit what's going on, but it's still so, like, dark and confusing and everything.
You only
know
the premise walking.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that unknown does a lot for that movie.
I would agree. And now that I've seen it, I think about, I get what this person does and how they survive and what they are. Do I need more on that? Right. Probably not. Now that I think about it, probably not.
Again, just the guys eating the hot dogs and Josh Brolin, contractor.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Hal Archer got to the top of that subdivision construction game.
And And what was that junkie's life before he became a junkie?
He's going to be in the Resident Evil movie, by the way. He's one of Krieger's guys. He's Krieger's.
He's a Krieger guy.
Yeah, what Michael Caine is to Christopher Nolan. That's that guy.
Austin Abrams, is that his name?
Yeah,
Austin
the Abrams, junkie
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
may or may not have HIV.
I'm not sure, man.
No, that's not a spoiler.
No. Just go watch Weapons if you haven't. It's a very entertaining, very satisfying end to the movie as well. It was a great job all around.
And then his other question about El Muerto being revived. I don't know that I haven't heard anything about that being revived because, Bad Bunny did drop out of that. But I think there was also other issues with just it's a Spider-Man character that only has literally like two pages of back history. So I think they were trying to capitalize on that. And with everything that's happened with Kraven and Madame Web and all Venom.
Do people have the appetite for another Batman side character, do you think?
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
No. Well, if done correctly, they would, but they never did any of them correctly, so there's not really anything to
at this point, what is Sony? Are they at 0 for 3 or 0 for 4? Sean will tell you he loves Venom, so.
Yeah. I don't, like, Venom 1, you can maybe say was the one that worked, and then the rest of them kind of failed. I mean, Morbius, Venom 2,
Madame Web, Kraven,
Venom 3, the hit rate is not very good.
Yeah.
So
Sean will probably say they're 3 out of 6 because he likes the Venom. 2 out of 6? You like 2 of the Venom movies?
Venoms. Yeah. Give me 2 Venoms, 1 and 3. Give me Madame Web.
Give you Madame Web.
Insane.
And Kraven on a rewatch, you know.
So you think they're 4 out of 6?
Insane.
No, just 2. Okay. All right. Just you can 2. Talk me into 3.
And if you don't,
the 3 Venoms.
And if you don't have Bad Bunny, like Bad Bunny would be the reason why.
Offense to Blue Beetle. Not interested.
I mean, he's a good actor, you know, Cobra Kai and all that. But like in name recognition alone.
Yeah.
Him or Bad Bunny.
Who else is a good actor? Aaron Taylor Johnson. Mm-hmm. He's also a good actor. Didn't help Kraven that much.
No. Only does so much.
All right, let's get to Willie P. We'll go to break, and then we'll come back with Michael's Rex and his review of Nobody 2. Willie P., you got a question for both of us, it looks like. What's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We're good, man. How are you?
Good.
Not bad. I can't complain. So real quick, shout out, the K-pop Demon Hunters. My daughter, she's 6, loves it. She's watched it almost every day after school. I finally sat down and watched it with her. She sings the songs and dances and she loves it. So whoever made that, shout out to them because they made my little girl happy. Michael, I had a question for you. Have you checked out the show Butterfly on, Amazon Prime with Daniel Day-Kim?
It's on my list, actually. That's the one I want to check out this weekend.
I saw the first 15 minutes before I fell asleep for the night. No, it didn't put me asleep.
You're just tired.
I was already on my way. First 15 minutes, it'll probably get more attention from me this weekend. What do you think?
I can't wait to hear you guys' opinion on it because I binged all 6 episodes yesterday.
Okay.
And it was – I liked it, man. And his daughter, man, she's like this sexy psychopathic assassin, like – it was doing it for me, man. I mean, I spent some time in the military in Japan, so in South Korea. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. But I like the show. It was a great show. So I'm interested to get your opinion on that. Last thing, Dell, the Premier League starts today. Mm-hmm. Question, who finishes higher, Manchester United or Fulham? We both know the answer is Manchester United. But
well, I would hope
to get your opinion on that.
What kind of question?
I mean, we spent all that money.
One of the giants in European football. He's asking me about Fulham and whether they're going to finish ahead of them. You better.
Hey, we saw how last season went, so yeah. I'm just saying, anything can happen, man. We almost got relegated, let's be real.
That's true, but I'll put it to you this way, Michael. Manchester United has spent plenty of money to try to rectify that situation.
Yeah.
The only player Fulham has brought in so far is a backup goalkeeper.
Oh.
Because they're under some financial constraints. So, yes, I'm going to pick Man U, and if not, it'll be one of the more embarrassing seasons. You guys have had some recently, but this one will be even more embarrassing considering the investment if you finish behind Fulham.
No, for sure. All right, last thing. Who you got winning the Premier League?
I know Liverpool edged out Man City as far as the betting. Arsenal's finished, second to last, 3 years is it now? I'm probably going to stick with Liverpool to win it again. I think.
Go
ahead.
Oh, no, I know it's going to sound, this is blasphemous as a Manchester United like fan, but I think if Erling Haaland stays healthy this year, then it'll probably be Man City.
Yep. I mean, they are the two top favorites, so either one, but maybe it's my dislike for the color light blue that I'm picking Liverpool again. We'll see. Appreciate it, Willie P. Did you? So we will probably both see that show,
Butterfly.
Yeah. At least more than the 15 minutes I saw. Appreciate the call, man. Yeah, I'll probably talk about it, if not Monday, then certainly next Friday with Michael.
It's also based on a graphic novel of the same name. Okay. So for folks that maybe want to check out more of that universe, give the graphic novel a try.
And you mentioned Daniel Day Kim. He's also in K-pop Demon.
He is.
Yeah, so he's having a bit of a run here. So appreciate it, Willie P. When we come back, we'll talk more with Michael. If you want to call in, certainly you can, 713-780-3776. But when we get back, Michael will give us what we should or shouldn't watch. Also, give us that review of Nobody 2. We'll be back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea and his intrepid, most outstanding, arguably the greatest producer of all time, the one and only Sean Mapes.
Hey, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Michael, for all those kind words.
Hey, you're welcome. I respect your opinions, and I respect you as a producer and co-host, kind of, sometimes. Yeah. You know?
I was in the next room, Sean. You didn't have to play the long one. All right, we're back. Thank you for giving me like four extra seconds.
Yeah, that's six extra seconds.
I mean, I was in the room. Right? That's why it was only four extra seconds. All right, so Michael, the intrepid, the best reviewer.
Oh, stop.
Well, hold on.
Okay, keep going.
In the building.
Oh, okay. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest or predict that whoever else is in this building right now isn't as good of a reviewer as you. So we'll get to Nobody 2. Mm-hmm. Actually, let's do that now. You watch the Bob Odenkirk sequel. He's an action star now. He's no longer just the quirky character and then the main character of a Breaking Bad spinoff. He will punch people in the face and do it effectively. I think I would say Nobody, the first one, was a surprise.
Yeah.
As far as how good it was, led to Nobody 2. What'd you think of it?
Have y'all both seen the first?
I've seen the first.
You've seen the first one? Sean, have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay. So obviously that one has its moments in terms of comedy. And of course the action is great in that first one. And this one picks up with him being more of the fixer that he was in his previous life, and now he finds enjoyment with his work, but now it's put a new strain on the family. So to alleviate that strain, he goes on a family vacation, as one would do. But of course things ensue, and it just leads to just an over the top, absolutely like bloody action, a lot of comedy that I was not expecting, but really appreciated. It's quick. It's only like 89 minutes. It's a quick movie. And you know, I see a lot of people compare it to John Wick and things like that. I don't think it's John Wick, and it doesn't try to be either. It takes the formula of the first one, applies it here in a smart way to where you're along for this funny ride. They could have done the thing where, you know, John Wick Chapter 2 and John Wick Chapter 3, where they really dive into the lore and the assassin. They don't do that. They know it's like, let's not go deep into that well. Let's just put Bob Odenkirk and the family in a new situation. This time the family can shine a little bit more, and let's just have them go crazy fighting people on a duck boat. Like literally it's a boat with a duck on it, fighting, bad guys at a water park and a fun land. Like it's absurd because it's this family vacation setup, that really works for it. And it's fun. It's just a fun ride that I really enjoyed. that I definitely say, if you have a chance, go check it out this weekend. The only like nitpick I would say is that they, while they do establish more with the family, there are a couple of storylines with specifically the wife character and the son character that I don't know that they've really finish off, tie it up neatly, but the ride itself, insane. Sharon Stone's in this movie.
I did see.
I had no idea she was going into it, and it's one of the craziest performances I've ever seen her give. She's, if anything, she would be the closest to something like a John Wick character in terms of who she is as the antagonist. But Colin Hanks, RZA is back. Christopher Lloyd's back. It's a strong, strong movie that's worth your time if you're an action movie fan or the Nobody One, an action fan of that first one.
So would you say it would be like if Clark Griswold took his family on vacation but could kick anyone's ass?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's 100%. That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
So if you want that, like, that's the perfect film for you. And it's another one where you don't have to, like, think too much about it. Just go along with the ride
and enjoy it.
And just had us like going, oh, you know what I mean? Like, it's just absurd, but in the best ways.
So you heard a good review as far as what he thinks of it, the movie. Also, Michael's not alone. Across the board, it looks like people enjoyed Nobody too. So you can see that it's out now.
Yeah, out now.
You can see it wide release. You can see it wherever you decide to go to the movies. So Nobody too. Thank you for that, Michael. So beyond that, what else is out there streaming or going out and seeing it?
The other big film I would say this weekend is, and it, I don't feel like it's gotten a lot of marketing for it, but maybe it's just I just haven't seen it in the algorithms. But Highest to Lowest with Denzel Washington and Spike Lee's directing. This is the fifth time they've come together on a movie. It's a reinterpretation of Akira Kurosawa's crime thriller High to Low, or High and Low. But Denzel Washington plays a music mogul and has to deal with, I think, A$AP Rocky kidnaps his son. But I don't know if it's A$AP Rocky as A$AP Rocky.
No, it's A$AP Rocky as Young Felony.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great name.
Great name.
It is.
For a crime thriller, if you're looking for something like that, Highest to Lowest, 92% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a good watch, I would say. And it's, if you can't make it to the theater, it's going to be on Apple TV Plus, I think, early September. So you got that.
If you Ice Spice fans want to see her act in a major motion picture, this is for you as well.
Hollywood gave her a chance.
Streaming wise,
that Taylor relationship really got it going. Hanging out with Taylor Swift.
Streaming wise, we mentioned Butterfly season one. All six episodes are available right now on Prime Video, again, based off a Boom Studios graphic novel. But I do want to highlight Alien Earth is out. This man, I don't know what you're doing. Why?
Hard Knocks, baby. Training camp with the Buffalo Bills.
Who's looking for that?
This is one of the times where I regret putting up that sign.
Yeah, why'd you acquiesce?
I don't know why. Anyway.
Also, some college football dynasty.
I get that.
Knights, y'all, you know, ran into it. You know,
sure. I get it.
It's tough to do both Astros and hours of content.
It's a lot.
I understand. But
someone who supposedly makes good decisions here decided, hey, I know all of you guys have different schedules, but Dell, particularly, you have to get up like at 5 o'clock. We need you on and awake till at least midnight so you can get through an entire off season in one night. Thanks, Joe.
Somebody here.
Somebody is Joe. All right, we move on. My grievances aside.
Yeah. And I didn't want to split attention between college football and Alien Earth. My two loves, college football and Xenomorphs.
But Alien Earth, the first two episodes are out.
First two episodes are out anyway.
No spoilers, please.
We'll,
some people haven't seen it.
Yeah, some people haven't.
Aliens kill people. Is that too much?
Yeah, is that too much?
He hit the dumb button. Or mime hitting the dumb button. Yeah.
That was just for you and people on the
stream. Yeah.
But I think Alien Earth, phenomenal so far. It felt like I was watching the 1979 Alien first.
I talked to you about it yesterday.
Yeah, we were talking about how the look and feel of it, I don't know how they made the show. Like, it's just phenomenal from the text choices, the practical, like, futuristic but retro stuff. It feels like it's pulled from Alien, the very first one, yet again, and the way it's shot, the music always creates this sense of dread. Mm-hmm. Like, even in moments where you think it's happy, it's still like the music is presenting like, nah, everything's not good here right now. And it just, it looks incredible. That the cast is not a well-known cast. The biggest name's probably Timothy Oliphant, right? Oliphant, right? So, and he's not even really in it too much. It's more based on the ship that's crashing and some of the characters that are going in to search and rescue.
Coach Taylor's real-life daughter in it, Sydney Chandler, Kyle Chandler's daughter, is one of the main protagonists. If you guys are either Alien fans, deeply into it, or you just watch them, hey, I like an action movie, they're great. Well, the first two episodes for me, I love them. But the timeline is this: Alien Earth is set before the first Alien movie comes out in this timeline. So it's 2 years before the first Sigourney Weaver movie.
And it disregard Prometheus, Alien Covenant, and the Alien vs. Predator movies. Like, this is something that is more focused on Alien and aliens and all that.
Yeah, yes, he's correct. Well, that music means we're out of time. Michael Carroll, thank you.
Thank you.
You can listen to his podcast in its entirety, Comicast, wherever you listen to podcasts. He does that with John Lee. That's his co-host. Also, you can listen to it here on ESPN 975 on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. Michael does a great job. You know, at these segments, people, you call in, Michael will give you a good answer.
I try.
He'll try.
I'll try.
He's much more astute than Sean on these things. That's been proven. But Sean, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Flip me over, Mike.
You did that a couple times this week. The Paul Gallant show is up next, followed by the Killer Bees. They're at Brick House Tavern Tap in Humble. Go out there and see them and take a chance, and maybe you win a great prize from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.